Well, here we're in Roswell, and of course at the Cover-Up Cafe, Mike Shoup. How are you? You're from Seattle?
From Seattle.
And this is this your first time to Roswell?
First time I've ever stopped here.
So what's your impression?
I like alien atmospheres.
It's very interesting. You came to Roswell. You must have an alien-related story.
Oh, definitely.
Well, tell us.
Well, it's really long and involved, but I'll try to cut to the quick. And that is basically that back in 1982, I experienced alien abduction attempts. And
this up in Washington State?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also experienced, in effect, talking to them. And then, of course, they weren't moving their lips. So, I mean, I'm sitting there going, they're not moving their lips, and yet I hear their voice. And they told
now,
me.
Were these humanoid type people, or were they little grays?
The humanoid
okay.
types.
And you were hearing them speak, but they weren't moving their lips.
Right, exactly.
And what happened exactly?
Well, it's a long story. There was, I don't know if you've ever heard of COINTELPRO. Have you ever heard of what that is?
Tell our audience, because not
all right, COINTELPRO. Is to destroy the leadership of any group, organization, people, or persons that could cause the overthrow of the U.S. government as constituted. And I basically became a target. And there was attempts on my life, etc.
Really?
So I sought higher power for protection.
What, have you had any incidents recently, or is this...
Of attempts on my life, or...
of all of this, right. Either, or...
Well, it's like the it's an ongoing. It's like I'm not sure if you remember or know about you know, like spirit helpers, and some people say
sure,
they're demonic
yeah, well,
or
we've
whatever.
We've done shows about that.
And if you get a, it's kind of like a good phone conversation with the proper ones. You know, like you're hooked into the source, you get a lot better information.
Mm-hmm.
And so it depends on who, in effect, is helping you. And there's been situations where. I was protected and made it so that I could survive where other people didn't survive.
Now, you talk about these things, and you're very matter-of-fact in your voice when you talk about them.
Well,
But they had to be, I don't know, traumatic would be the right word. They had to excite you a little.
Well, it's kind of like once you see or experience something that's out of the normal mm-hmm. range of experiences... And then you go, well, that's here. Well, what else is here? And when you start realizing that there's other things, the things that go bump in the night, et cetera, then you get to a point where you're going, just what is happening here?
And we're in search of answers like the Holy Grail. Did you find any answers?
Yeah.
What
I was shown. I was shown.
And what did they show you exactly?
Well... They showed me the truth.
Okay. It's still a very an emotional thing for you to talk
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And it's kind of like the reason why people will not accept what's happening is because it's too much. It's like explaining to Pat earlier, looking into the mirror and seeing somebody staring back at you that's not you. And it's very traumatic. It's
sure
much
it
better to take the blue pill and not the red pill. And I'm speaking in kind of a convoluted argument.
Yeah.
But I mean, when people really understand why we're here, what we're here for, and what we're doing, then they can understand why.
Yeah, I understand.
TV show I do in Seattle.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Well, anyway, it's like the one night that I was arrested by the so-called police, and I told them that they were servants of the devil, and it's time to close the circle. And so after that, I started my TV program, and I've just had the 161st show. Actually, I 160 shows to 1 hour programs. And I started out kind of light, you know.
You do that once a week? Or
once a week.
Okay.
But it's a way to bring about the whole realm of what's going on.
So you've been 160-some-odd shows. You
Plus, I helped with Pat's
program. Right, so you've been doing it at least 3 years.
Yeah.
And what's the reaction to your show over this time?
Well, it isn't so much the reaction. It's just this information needs to get out. Okay? It's my job to get this.
This is your mission at this point.
Well, it's one of my missions. I mean, I've been involved in all kinds of protests. I've been involved in Native American affairs. I've been involved in ecology. I've been involved in, like, the blockade of the Trident submarine in 1982. I mean, basically, they went after me, and I said, okay, you guys want to go after me? I'm going to go after you.
Okay, as you know, you do a TV show yourself, but we have time limitations, and we've been going a long time here, so we've lots of guests on.
Oh, I know.
So we only have a couple of minutes more. Is there something that you'd like to bring out for our listeners that you do on your TV show that we... Is it available on the web, too, or just on the cable?
Well, it's available on video streaming, and sometimes it's available, you know, like if somebody gets one of my copies of my DVDs. But it's not, you know, uncommon knowledge of, you know, what it's all about.
Well, before you leave, you're going to have to tell us how to link to it.
Oh, scantv.org. And
when are you on?
On 4 o'clock on Friday.
That's Pacific time.
Yeah, so it'd be 5 o'clock. Mountain
and the
so
mountains
on.
And so forth. Okay, and it's Scan TV.
scantv.org. And we're one of the...
scantv.com or...
.org.
.org, okay. Go ahead. I
want
to make
to,
sure...
You kept asking the people, what's the mission? You know, what's
yeah,
the outcome?
Right.
And basically, it's we are all one. And... Here
now, are you talking about we are all one, as in the common consciousness?
Oh no, let's take it not just from the Earth, but go to cosmic.
Okay.
In other words, all the various alien groups, whatever you want to call them, all over the universe, and this war that's been going on for eons—I mean, way beyond eons—and that it's come to Earth is, in effect, coming to fruition here. The people that were involved in the battles and what have you that have reincarnated here. Are at the point now where instead of fighting, they're negotiating.
Now, your show, they can check it out. Do you have guests?
Yeah, I've got like 3 guests that I usually have on the program, and then I in effect, teach in the spirit. In other words, each week I try to come up with something new, and I use numerology as a teaching aid that I was shown. And anyway, it's like A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, down to Z is 26, and you take the words that are in the dictionary and find out that they have meaning, that it was put in there a long time ago. And it's like Lord Jesus Christ adds to 200, Lord adds to 49, Jesus adds to 74, and Christ adds to 77. And there were, like in the book of Enoch, there were 200 fallen angels. And the word catch 22 adds to 200 also. And if you look up the 22nd verse of, Proverbs, Psalms,
mm-hmm.
It's, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And when Jesus was on the cross, he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, in mm-hmm. effect. And I said that the Sermon on the Cross. And it's like Hiroshima Hospital. Hiroshima adds to 100. Hospital adds to 100. So there's another 200. And what were the weapons that were used back in time? Nuclear. If you go to the area of Sumer, they refer to that as the place of the rockets, which is over in the Middle East. There are areas there that have the sand was turned to glass. And it's still there. Ancient wars that have occurred throughout the universe.
200, what's the significance of that number?
Well, in the book of Enoch, E-N-O-C-H, there were 200 fallen angels. And that 200 keeps coming up in the numerology all the time. Like if you go to if you take the book of Genesis and count the number of verses, and when you get to 200, you'll find out that that was where they were told to leave the ark. And when you get to the 202nd verse, you'll find out that's when they left the ark. And it's like Richard Hoagland talks about 19.5. Well, if you do 19.5 in numerology, you'll find out that equals 202. And if you do the word transformations, transformations equals 202. And it's all tied together. There's this code that was written long ago.
Does this have anything to do with the date that everybody talks about, 2012?
Oh, yeah. It all ties together. Matter of fact, I was talking with Richard tonight, and I don't want to divulge what he said to me, in effect, because I gave him that information.
Sure.
And he said, yes, we've been working on this code, and we realize it all ties together. And I told him that I'd, in effect, broken the code and found out, you know, what it all means.
We could talk for hours, but as I said, we have time constraints. Thanks for coming on Scan TV. The name of the show again?
Closing the Circle.
Closing the Circle. Thanks
and
very much.
And if you go Closing the Fire Circle, that
equals, I bet you that gets
that
to
200. Equals 200.
I just had a hunch. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine.
Fate!
Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. You know, I feel like Travis Walton, that you're a member of the family. We keep meeting all the time. David Ray, how are you?
I'm Don Ray Walton.
Yeah, Don Ray.
And
misspoke there, sorry. It's been a long day, as you noted.
Yeah.
Well. It's Don Ray Walton, and let's welcome him to the Cover Up Cafe. Phyllis Galdi, a dear friend of ours, is publishing your book, and you already have a name for it, huh?
That's right. It's called The Coming Human Aliens, Fact or Fiction.
And when will this be coming out?
It's either the end of this month or fairly soon, within the next couple of months.
Now,
sure.
You've been on other shows with us, so some of our regular listeners know about your story, and we'll get into a little bit of that. But first of all, I want to know, CNN was talking to you today, other people were talking to you. You did the demonstration you did on camera for them. You plug yourself into a wall socket.
Yeah, for 7 minutes.
And it doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't affect me.
And why is that?
Well, because I'm a little different than most people.
Yeah, and tell our audience, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm a hybrid.
And how do you know that?
In 1954, a UFO landed in my mother's backyard, and less than a year later, I was born while her husband was doing a tour in the Navy. We lost the farm and everything because my mom's husband thought that she had cheated on him.
Yeah, and we went through that story, and they can listen to it from our Eureka Springs show. But you found out you had, I don't want to call them supernatural things, but I guess they really are. If you can plug yourself into a wall socket, if you can drink gasoline.
Well, I can do a lot of things other people and normal people can't do.
I mean,
because
you even drink battery acid once in a while, I think.
Yeah,
what's the story on that?
Well, I was 19 years old, and I was working on a Dodge Charger. I had built a police interceptor. I souped it up, and I put a 12-inch crescent on the radiator, and as I leaned over to turn the distributor to time it, I had it at 6,000 RPM, and I knocked the 12-inch crescent into the radiator and came back, and it hit my teeth and cracked my teeth all the way across and everything. I was in so much pain, I grabbed the battery. I poured it in my mouth, but I burnt my eyes, and it was just it's in the book, actually.
Yeah, and but you can still see.
Oh, yeah.
You can still
yeah.
talk.
Of course.
You still got an ability to eat, so you recovered.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, how do you attribute this? I guess because you say you're a hybrid.
Also because I'm the seventh son of a seventh son of a seventh daughter. And if you notice, today was the...
We're doing on 777.
That's right. Even Phyllis noticed that.
That's the reason we asked you to come by here.
Yeah.
You're the seventh son of the... Go through that again.
I'm the seventh son of a seventh son of a seventh daughter. I don't have a father. I was artificially inseminated.
Yeah, on board ship.
On board a ship, yes.
And so you are you saying that you're... The male sperm was an alien?
I can't define that because it was in a needle, and my mom, that's all she remembers.
So you don't know exactly.
And in fact, she didn't know she was being impregnated at the time. She just thought they were doing some weird tests on her.
Right. You've been busy here in Roswell. I see you all the time. Tell me what's happening.
Well, I've been interviewed by about 12 different people now, and I've got... Enchantment TV, they put me in New Mexico, Enchantment TV. They got a 20-minute interview with me on there, and they wanted to talk about my book and what was going on. And they wanted to know what happened on that aura machine because they were watching, and they couldn't believe that.
And tell our listeners what we're talking about here. There's an aura machine there at the festival in the Civic Center, and something unusual happened with you. Tell me about that.
Well, Fate magazine wanted to do a cover-up story on me on that aura machine. They wanted to see what was really making me tick because they didn't understand how I could take 110 volts right straight out of the wall through an extension cord like that right straight into my body. Well, they did it before, and then they did one after I charged
minutes. This is before you came in the room. You charged yourself up today right in the room we were.
Yeah,
in the studio.
Yes, I did that wired in that room 7 minutes straight.
Yeah,
right through the heart.
So they took one of these photos of the aura before you went in there.
Yeah, and then they took
one.
And
what did it look like?
And it was just normal aura, but then when I charged up with the electricity, it turned red and there was a lot of things running around, and there was actually a picture of an alien behind my shoulder in there, and it freaked the guy out so bad he almost shut the machine down. So then they wanted to, they grounded me.
Wait a minute. You're going a little fast for me, Don. This is the second picture or the third picture?
Second one.
Okay. The second one, all of a sudden.
Yeah, it freaked him out.
It's way out. The vibes are, it's gone nuts, and you have an ET behind you.
Yeah, then they wanted to ground me to see if it was the electricity causing the effect. So they grounded me and dropped electricity out of me, and then the aura got brighter.
How do they do that? Ground you.
Well, put me on the machine.
I've never grounded a person.
They put me on the machine, and all the electricity on my body ran into it. Anyways, the third picture came out even brighter, and I lit up so much that it lit up without the machine around my head, and it freaked them out. They said, this guy's probably the real deal. He says, I've never believed in aliens before, but he said, I think I do now.
Well, are you more than a half-breed?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm a messenger, more or less.
Okay.
I'm here to bring a message to this world.
Do you think you're a complete alien?
I'm not an alien as you would know. I'm only an alien because I'm not from your world. See, though I'm of your world, I'm not from it.
So your mother naturally was human.
Of course, yes. I'm half human, basically.
Now you've really been moving around. We've had you sing the song on another show, so we won't ask to do that again.
Now that's good. Yeah,
that was neat. What's happening with your life here? What are you doing here?
I don't know. I seem to have a lot of producers calling my agent and my publisher.
So in other words, you're interested in maybe a movie career or something?
Well, I don't know what she's got planned for me, but I signed a contract and whatever she wants to set up. Not a problem.
Okay. Well, basically you're out making personal appearances at this point.
Yeah, see, it's not the money that counts to me. It's the matter of the message getting across to the people.
And that's what I'm getting to, Dom. What is the message? Well, when a guy drinks gasoline, plugs himself into
that's got nothing to do with it. Just some of the things I experience here because I'm kind of like a probe. I kind of test everything out.
Okay. And the message?
The message is not to blow the hell out of the earth with atomic weapons and destroy it with a plan that the aliens have against the Earth by using the humans to do it with themselves so that they don't have to mess with you in space.
Okay, now hold on, let's see. Anyone here want to ask this man something? I mean, I saw him plug himself into a wall, and he didn't glow. Just kind of, anybody have a question for Don? Anybody? Let me get untangled. Okay, Jane, pick it back up. We're now back with the TV personality.
Hello, Don. What is your birthday?
My birthday?
Mm-hmm.
10/20/55.
Okay. And what do you know about the core meaning of Roswell?
Core meaning of Roswell is that they were shot down on their way here to warn Earth about the message that I was trying to give them. I was kind of a drop-off point afterwards by the other crew that didn't get shot down by their own kind. They were shot down by their own kind while they were trying to deliver a message.
Well,
basically, they came here to help you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Don, do you still really drink some of that gasoline?
No. My girlfriend made me quit drinking bleach and gasoline and turpentine and all that stuff.
Why did you ever try that?
Huh?
Why did you try that to begin with?
Well, see, when I was riding Harley-Davidson, I used to eat raw meat all the time. You don't have a place to cook, and I didn't want to get worms, so I'd drink whatever is handy to kill the worms.
So you literally kerosene, gasoline, anything?
It doesn't
like
matter.
That.
Just anything to eliminate the parasites
from
my body.
When you were here the other day, I told Roberta, our producer, I said, I smell a distinct gasoline odor. I think Don's back on it.
No. No, I'm not. No.
Yeah, okay. Folks, if you're listening, don't try it. He survived it, but I'm not sure. And I don't know about this plug-in. You sure that's not a carny trick?
No, it's not carny.
You don't have a little secret gadget or something?
No.
This is a real deal.
That's a real deal.
You got anything else to close? We're almost out of time.
Well, I can only say that the message that is in the book, The Coming Human Aliens, Fact or Fiction, is for the whole world. Not just for Roswell or people in Roswell. It's for the whole world to understand the meaning of why I was really sent here from the Orion Star System.
Let's plug the book one more time. Phyllis is a buddy of ours. We need to make sure you sell a few copies. I imagine you might could use a little the revenue from royalties, so you're probably ready for it too. What about this book? It's going to come out either this month or next month. The name of it again is...
Within the next couple of months for sure. Yeah. She's investing $10,000 into the covers and into the pictures and everything to make it look good.
She goes first class.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the name of the book again.
It's called The Coming Human Aliens, Fact or Fiction by Don Ray Walton. I'm Travis Walton's cousin.
And it's Galdi Press, and it'll be available at every bookstore, wherever you want it. We have a link to it on our website as well.
This is correct.
Let's give Don Ray Walton a big hand before he gets back on the gasoline habit. Always a pleasure to talk to him. We'll be right back in a moment. This is Jerry Pepper.
The year was 1970 when Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan released their first big single hit, Tennessee Birdwalk. For the first time in the history of music, this 45 RPM single becomes available to the public in the form of a mouse pad. Made of high-quality quarter-inch rubber, this fabric-covered 8-inch mouse pad delivers your mouse a very smooth ride. For only $9.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, your mouse pad will be rushed via USPS first-class mail. Simply click on the happy little mice and be directed to our ordering page. Hurry while this limited time offer lasts.
It's interesting when you come to Roswell, you meet all kinds of interesting people with a lot of dedication. And you rode a Greyhound bus out here, right?
For 2 days and nights.
And the reason you came to Roswell was to find out more information?
Fulfill my dream of telling you people what I had witnessed in 62 and 63.
Let's talk a little bit about those. They happen to what in what county in Georgia?
Lowndes. L-O-W.
Now, where is that exactly?
7 miles. It's at Valdosta. It's a county seat.
Uh-huh. Now, you have a newspaper background. You worked in the composing department, I guess is what we call it, when they used to use the lead, and they pour the molten lead and make the paper.
I sure did. For 10 years.
That's an interesting job, and it was not easy. It was heavy.
Those
plates were heavy.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
And not too good a pay.
Yeah. Well, that's journalism for you.
Yeah.
Tell me about your sightings.
Well, first I want to tell you about this rocket of fire.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear about that.
Well, I was standing out behind my house one night about the latter part of March, and all of a sudden I heard this awful noise about 200 yards over in the corner of the field. It sounded like the old-timey big window fans in factories before the air conditioning. About 20, sounded like 20. And it rose up, had a head on it as large as a beach ball. The body was as large around as a man's body and 6 or 7 feet long. And it crashed in my field. I went over there the next morning and there was just a few little flimsy ashes.
But everything else was gone and burned up or whatever?
Yes, sir.
What do you make of that rocket of fire?
I never have figured it out.
Well, did anybody else see it?
No, sir. I called my wife to the door. She missed seeing it, but she saw the flashlight that came down the other side of my property.
Now, right after that, you had a UFO sighting, I think. Next year?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
It was about the same time of the year.
What time of the year was that?
The latter part of March.
Okay.
The fields hadn't been planted. And my brother-in-law, he was about 14 years old. We'd been sitting at the dinner table talking about what I had seen the previous year. And I said, let's go out and look for a flying saucer. We went out. We hadn't been in the yard hardly 5 minutes. But here come a beautiful creation. It looked like it was 35 or 40 feet in circumference. And there was a bright low glow of light extending from the entire surface of it. And it came from towards Tallahassee, Florida, or Thomasville, Georgia, and was headed in a northeasterly direction towards Savannah or Charleston.
Mm.
We saw it, and we heard the motor to it. The motor is a low hum.
Hum, huh?
Yes, sir.
Like a low-range hum, or...?
Low-range hum.
No.
And it was just barely over the Georgia pine tree tops.
Wow.
We saw it about 8 to 10 seconds before it speeded up and left that area. It was going approximately 70 miles an hour when it come over the corner of my 3 acres.
Well, we appreciate you coming a long way on a Greyhound bus to tell us a story. What do you think of Roswell?
It's fantastic.
Have you had a chance to share your story with people here?
You're the first.
Yeah.
I've talked to 2 or 3 people around in businesses and 2 or 3 over here this morning.
Well, we appreciate you coming all the way from Georgia on a Greyhound bus, and thanks for telling us your sighting. I wish we could help you more on the information, like everybody else. We don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think it was?
I was a doubting Thomas before that night.
Mm-hmm.
These people flying those, piloting those flying saucers. I bet you could have put a dozen people in it. It's so large.
Wow. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Jerry.
It came a long ways.
Yes, sir.
Let's give him a big hand. Came on a Greyhound bus. I'm Jerry Pippin. We're at the Cover Up Cafe in Roswell.
Major sighting here on the 13th of March. Weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix recently. And no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
And now, suddenly six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
There is a strange bright light seen over the skies of Arizona. Gets a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing.